Tonight, we're going to look at another question. Where is Jesus today? Where is Jesus today? Now, again, you and I know that it's our focus has got to be on what does the Scripture say. So the only thing we can know about God is through His revelation. And the only book of the revelation that we have is the Holy Bible. So if I trust the Holy Bible is God's Word and is all of God that He said we need, it is not all of His Word, but it is all that we need for our time here on planet Earth. So let's look at it. Where is Jesus today? Gospel of John 16, verse 28. Jesus is speaking. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Remember this. Jesus is the only existence of God and a person that originated from heaven. Nobody else had written the prophets of all the other religions. They became prophets. They were here on earth, became prophets, and preached and taught that they would go to their heaven later. Well, and we as Christians were on earth, and the Lord is the only one who said, I came from heaven down here, now I'm going back home. It's what He's talking about. Now, so where Jesus is very important for us because He said, where I am, you will be also. So we know that He entered the world through the human birth. Why did He do that? Hadn't He been in the world before? Yes, there's no beginning with Christ, nor is there any ending. But as you will see, He is the visual image of God the Father. So He comes to earth so He can experience the human condition. For the only way that the human being could enter the kingdom of God is if the debt is paid or in the law. And the bloodletting. If you'll read more about blood, you will notice something in Scripture. I was telling my son the other day when we were out eating, because he orders his steaks rare to medium rare. And I said, you do know that the Scripture says we should not drink any type of blood. Do you all know why that we are not to drink any blood? It's because blood is life. And God says, your life is in the blood, okay? How long can we go? 40 days without eating something? Anyway, water, you can go as long as your body can hold up without water. We don't know according to the temperature. How long do you think you could go without blood? Because blood is our life. And the Lord says, so that is the life-giving point. Again, it deals with an infant or a baby, the unborn child. God says life begins with the blood. Now, when the blood is forming the child, there is life. And when God says that, what He was telling in that generation, too, because there are religions, you do know, that drink blood. There are religions that would drink human blood. And the sickening part of it is that they will drink that blood and they will glorify their God thinking that they get power from the life blood of another human being, just like they do with the babies. Sick world, folks. Number one, Jesus physically ascended into heaven. Where is He today? He physically ascended into heaven, Acts 1, 6 through 11. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking Him, Lord, has the time come for You to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Remember their whole concept of what Jesus was here for. is not why Jesus was here. So he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, and listen, that's not all he said there. I'll read that to you in a moment. But in Acts is what he's saying. But that was not the end of his statement, Jesus' statement. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. I would have done that, wouldn't you? And you start seeing the Lord that you love, a friend, and he starts ascending to heaven. I'm going to watch, and I'm going to watch with my mouth open. And such, I know he said he could do it, never doubted that he could do it, but I'm seeing it. Okay. And rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Have you ever witnessed biblically a feminine or a female angel in Scripture? No, you haven't. It's always masculine. But now the new Bibles today, they're changing that. All gender is thrown out. Now, here's what we need to pay attention to. God says, I will let you know when you need to know it. Lord, let me in on your secrets. Good gracious, folks, I cannot even handle what he's let me in on today, much less tomorrow or another second. I can only take it a little at a time. Because, as you all know, my brain's messed up. Okay, men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Now, you would think, well, you ought to know why we're doing that. Because Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. The question was this. Why are you looking there? He told you what he's going to be doing. See, the disciples knew everything that Jesus had told them, but they, even walking with him, even ministering with him, kept thinking that he was going to be their human king at any time. And at one point, do you remember? He had to watch himself because they were going to take him by force and make him be their king. Why do we want a king when we have such a God of love? Okay. Roman numeral 2. Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father. You want to know where he is? Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord. Now, when you're studying the New Testament, if you'll pay attention to that, you'll see Jesus coming back to this scripture because they were saying that David was the Lord. Now, the Lord said to my Lord, and Jesus threw that back at him. Why would David, who worships the Lord, say that? He was Lord when he didn't, you know, when he worshiped God. Sit in the place of honor at my right hand. And then Jesus told him, said, David is not at God's, the Father's right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. Also, this statement that Jesus is making to his disciples, remember, we're in Psalm, the Old Testament, is repeating, or Jesus was repeating what the Psalms say. Matthew 26, verse 64. You remember that Jesus was on trial. You remember the Pharisees trying to really catch him on something. And they said, well, just tell us outwardly, are you the Christ? Matthew 26:64 reads, Jesus replied, you have said it. Okay. They said, are you the Christ? And he said, you said it. You said it from your own mouth. That meant that they were condemned at that point if they did not receive him as the Christ. These who were judging Jesus the man, Jesus was saying, you said it from your mouth. Therefore, you remember something else he said? I will have revealed myself, therefore you have no excuse. And you recognize me as it, oh, I'm just asking a question. You wouldn't ask the question if it were not the truth. Okay, you have said it. And in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven. So there was no mistake when the time came, Jesus said, you've rightly said it. I am the Christ, the one and only. You know that I am. That's why you're trying to kill me. Remember how many times he had to escape to death? And then you think of this. All the times in Scripture where you'll see that, you know, they were coming at him to take him or to bind him, and all of a sudden he was gone. Remember that? But when it came time for him to finish his calling, then he refused to let the angels call down the legions to come and help him. For this is why I've come. Folks, that is precious. He's saying and naming each one of us, you're why I came. You're why I came. Ooh, that's love. Because of where Jesus is, he rules and reigns as sovereign King and Lord. There is no vote taking in heaven, folks. God's not going to say, okay, gang, you all get out of here and let's vote on whether or not we're going to do this. God is sovereign King. Should we not be proud that he is? Aren't you glad you're not judging yourself? You know, it's not about, well, another man judging me. No, I'm tickled to death that I am not judging me, because I would be in a mess if I was judging. Okay, Matthew 11, verse 27, first part of it. All things have been committed to me by my Father. Okay, his Father and he are sovereign, in sovereign reign over all that exists. They wanted him to be their king, you know, just a group of individual people. They could not imagine the greatness of God's universe, that of all that is there, that no matter how far you will go, you would never come to the end of it. We're going to have a ball flying around up there, aren't we? Going from, well, what a love. Colossians 1:15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. So when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Don't you understand? Christ is the visible image of the invisible God, because you could not stand in the presence of God. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Now, we can't wrap our mind around that either. How can we wrap our mind around him being in existence before anything was created? Only a man-made God, only a man-made God could falsely say that they are God. And only the true God would, oh, you know, if Jesus was trying to trick the people into following him, do you really think that he would have been so off base with them? If he was trying to build up membership in his group, would he really have said, if you do not eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can have no part of me? Do you really think that he would then tell these people that he is the one that existed before anything existed? Oh, it's amazing. Okay. Because of where Jesus is, now let's catch this part. Because of where Jesus is, he is the spiritual head, the animation. He brings life to the church. He animates the church body. He is the spiritual head of his physical church, which is his earthly body. So we, the church, as you know, represent the body of Christ. And the next question we will ask is, how do we represent Christ? How can we represent Christ? We can only represent Christ by sticking to his words, by preaching and teaching his words, his truths. If I start teaching and preaching, what you all would throw me out on, but if I were to start doing that about the world, you know, there's other ways, there's this, you would know it. But Jesus says, I am the leader of the church. The pastor is the under-shepherd to Jesus Christ, folks. I am the under-shepherd to Jesus Christ. I must go by God's guideline for his church. Here it is. We don't have a right to change that. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He has allowed us the honor of getting to be called Christian. That's an honor to get to be called Christian. It's an honor to be able to even read God's word. It's an honor. How many people throughout the world would give anything to have a Bible in their language, or that they wouldn't get their head chopped off for reading it? Yet as of right now, we can read it freely. But as I said, they're coming out now with the new Queen James Version and all of this. And is it going to confuse the people? Yes, it is, folks. It really is. But think of it this way. That is a challenge, blasphemy direct against God. He can handle it quite well. So we preach the truth. Okay, his earthly body, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. God has put all things under the authority of Christ, and has made him head over all things. Now remember, this took place after the resurrection. And when Jesus is saying, my Father has now given me authority over all in heaven and in earth, he paid the price, folks, for us. He met the requirements that God had said had to be met for forgiveness of the human race and their sin. One other thing you might note, he did not meet the guidelines of the extra laws that the Pharisees had written. Remember, he got into it with them on that. He said, you all trying to teach your rules to people, and you become 10 times the people of hell than these are, and you direct them to there. Again, he was, when you start messing with the word of God, his Father, he would not pull any punches. That's a, I don't know whether I've, the scripture said pull punches or not, Brother Randy, but Ephesians 1, 22, God had put all things, okay, who fills all things, remember, when God is in control, we will be filled with the joy. People are looking for joy. People are looking for hope. People are looking to people and saying, what can we do? Oh, what's going to happen? How do we keep a church together when so many multitudes are walking out of church? and they don't want to hear about Jesus anymore. What can we do as an individual? Well, the scripture tells us, you and I, that we are Jesus' body on earth. Remember what Jesus could do in his body when he was on earth? And Jesus is leaving, and he said, all those miracles you've seen me do, when I leave, not only can you do those, but you can do many more than those, many greater, because I go to the Father and sit on his right side, and I will petition him continually on your behalf. So what happened? Do we not trust the word of God? When God says, I want you to ask in faith, believing, do I believe that Jesus can do all the things and put them back together? Sure. I even believe the story where the dry bones are rattling and Jesus puts them back together. I do believe that I don't care what condition I will be or my body will be during in death, and I don't care where parts of my body will be throughout the universe, Jesus is quite capable. Folks, if he can raise one dead person after 4 days, and surely he doth not stinketh, when he can do that, I put no limits on God's mercies and grace that he gives us. Because of where Jesus is, he is. Now, this scripture really nails me, because I've said so many times, it really aggravates me when people say the man upstairs. And it does. I don't like the idea of somebody saying like his buddy, but let's look at 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, how could that be possible? Because Jesus, in order to fulfill the requirements of God, had to be a man who would fulfill those requirements. Therefore, Paul is telling his young student Timothy, Timothy, pay attention, for there is one God and one mediator. Since the beginning of the church, there have always been believers that wanted to, meaning those who are believing in something, wanted to bring in different names by which you could be saved. It's always been that way. Churches, you say, well, I don't know any church. Yeah, you do. You know churches that deal with works, don't you? That you work your way to heaven. You know the songs. I'm sending one plank at a time for my mansion in heaven, and that one gives me cold chills because, no, you're not. That's me. Well, okay. He is the God-man mediator. There's no other who can mediate on our behalf. And I'm thankful because Jesus said he loves me. He loves you. And not only that, he said, let me tell you the trust I'm going to place in you. I'm going to allow you to be a part of my earthly body till I come back to do what? To claim the church. His earthly body. He said, you get to be a part with me when you say that you believe. Don't you think that's quite an honor? And knowing that none of us are worthy of that position. But through his blood, it is his blood that makes us, in his eyes, worthy. God the Father will never hear of a sin in our life. Can't be. Because he says that no one, no sin can come in the presence of God. That's why you couldn't go in the presence of God, nor could I. Remember Moses, tough enough for him with a burning bush just to be there. Wait till you hear about Elijah. Because of where Jesus is, he commissioned us to herald his reign. What are we supposed to do? Keep Jesus first and foremost. When I was in a conversation the other day with a couple of friends while we had went to Derby dinner, and I said, And again, folks, I'm not putting down any church, any group at all. But it does bother me when you build recreational buildings before you build the sanctuary of worship. Because everyone says, well, we can turn that into a sanctuary and kill two birds with one stone type of a thing. Yes, we can worship in any situation. But it just bothers me that when folks build, they're waiting for phase three or four in order to build a sanctuary dedicated to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, to the preaching. There's nothing wrong with all the extra buildings. There's nothing wrong, you know, with new fellowship halls and all that. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to send a message to a lost world. The greatest danger for us is not the evil we commit. Listen to me. That's not the greatest danger, the evil. But the greatest danger is the appearance of evil. It is the very appearance of evil that you and I, as Christians, are to get away from. Remember when I told you about Hunter and us up there in the mountains with that beer, watching them make the beer? And it's the appearance of evil that really destroys the witness. Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came, told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the rest of it. I told you a while ago, that wasn't the end of the Great Commission. Here we will have it. Teach these new disciples to obey all my commands I have given you. Here's the end. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the Great Commission that we have is a promise that the Lord says, you go and I'll take care of the rest. Just like to any of the prophets of old, you go and I want you to be present on this battle, but I'm going to be the one that fights it for you. Do you know of any other religion whose God fights for them? Or do they fight for their God? Because of where Jesus is, he can make this irrevocable promise to all Christians. See, when Jesus makes a promise, it is irrevocable. Can be revoked by anyone. How are you going to overrule a sovereign God? John 14, verse 1 through 4. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. Listen to Jesus. He said, I've shown you the Father through me, through my actions. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you. When everything is ready, God's time, so that you will always be with me where I am. And when people say, where's heaven? And we say, I don't care. I just know that I'm going there. And if it's where Jesus is, it's wherever he wants it. Did you ever see him try to pick argument with you over stuff like that? Okay. And you know the way to where I am going. Now, remember, what did the disciple say as soon as he said that? We don't know the way, Lord. How would we know the way? We don't know where you're going. 3 years, he's been with them and teaching. And have you ever talk to someone and you know that they're listening, but they're not hearing a word you say? We don't know where you're going. So my ignorance of Scripture will never supersede the grace of Scripture. Those disciples loved him the best way they knew how. And they had their doubts. everything that we do for the Lord. Sometimes it's not always the best that we've got, but, you know, we focus. We will not renounce him. But, folks, there will be a time when we will get that challenge, and that time is now. That time we are watching the freedom of worship is really pushed to the limit, and Christianity is on the chopping block. It's not just one party of politicians. It's a party of power. We don't need a God. Make us like all the other nations again. John 14, verse 6, second part. This is the last one. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if you're not a Christian, again, I remind you folks, if they're not Christian, how do you think that they're going to believe this? Only a Christian, only a person that has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can say, that's right, I know, and I know Christ is the only way. So we don't need to nail them because they're ignorant of the truth of God. If they have never been told, then how would they know, as they would say? And God says the time is coming when I will reveal myself directly, which he is doing today. But also, the time and we're living in today is a perilous time. It is a time to where we see families split, families killing other family members. We're witnessing the evil of this generation, and we are part of it. The next generation, they will have their evil if there is any, and there will be the battle until Christ comes. And during that millennial reign, we get to be with him.